you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 31st, 2020. And I'm going to jump right in, Jason, so we can devote the preponderance of our time to this great book of James, written by the half-brother of Jesus. And I'll begin at James chapter 1, verse 2. And this is the verse we looked at last week. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Oh, wow. I just already know. There's no way we're going to get through all that. But
No way.
Thank you, Jason, for joining me again on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, where the last 3 or 4 weeks we've been looking and examining and talking about and asking God for insights and points of application and helping us learn more about him and connect with him and to be able to flourish as the disciple of Jesus, as an ambassador of God, and learn to know him better so that we reflect him better. And appreciate you carving out time and being available today. And before we jump right into this, I do ask our listeners, just be praying up. Our board chair, John Jennings, and I will be traveling to Springfield today. We'll be meeting with all the staff, doing some reviews and talking with them on how we can best serve the Lord in the coming days. And so it'll be our first time John Jennings has met some of the staff. So appreciate your prayers. It'll involve really the whole day, returning about 4 or 5 o'clock tonight. So we look forward to establishing ongoing relationships with the team. And the headquarters for the WLUJ family of stations is in Springfield. So made many a trip out that way and look forward to meeting with them. So appreciate your prayers, everyone. So this book of James, Jason, considering it pure joy, we talked about that a bit last week and these trials that come along our ways, but now we're going to learn about the testing of our faith and what this perseverance may do to us or do for us.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because James begins verse 3 by saying, you know, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, various kinds means trials that are big, trials that are small, all different trials, all different sizes, shapes, and all different things that test, it tells us, tests your faith. But he says this, for you know, meaning that he's saying that the Christian must know and understand that these things are going to happen. The Christian is not surprised by these things. The Christian doesn't go, well, I didn't see that coming. And if we didn't see it coming, it was because we weren't watchful. We weren't looking around and seeing. But he says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That's ESV. For you know the testing of your faith. Now, that's really interesting, because if you say the testing of your faith, well, what tests your faith? The trial? Well, that's certain, yeah. The trial tests your faith. But how did the trial come to your address? How did the trial come on the scene? Well, God allowed it.
Yeah.
If God is sovereign, he either doesn't allow it or he does allow it. And so he allows that to happen. Now, that's interesting to me. You know why? Because the Bible in James, a little further down here in the book of James, it'll say that God doesn't tempt you, but he does test you. Now, why does God test our faith? God tests our faith because faith is important and faith is precious. You know, faith is so precious and so important that God tests it thoroughly. See, God wants to know if your faith, if what you believe, what you say, what you do, you really mean it. God wants to know. He wants to kind of put your feet to the fire a little bit. You know, and I hope that people understand when I say put your feet to the fire, it's not to cause you to be uncomfortable. Well, I think it is to cause you to be uncomfortable a little bit. But I don't think it's to harm you. or to hurt you. It's to grow you. And so God wants to test your faith to grow you. By the way, what's fascinating about the whole thing is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that the faith that you have is the faith that God gave you, the faith that God gives you. So this thing that God gives you, God wants to grow in you. And so how does he do that? Well, he allows trials of various kinds to come. But the Bible also says that he doesn't give us more than we can handle. And so we have to not just look at this, what James is saying here, but begin to look at the whole span of Scripture and understand that when we reach these trials of various kinds, these trials of various kinds come because God allows them to come. And that the testing of our faith is a testing that comes from God, and he's testing the very thing that he's given us, the gift that he's given us, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, that we're supposed to embrace and then carry that gift like it's the most precious thing that we've ever had.
Hmm.
And we're supposed to hold it differently than we hold other things. And that faith, which is like the bridge that leads us back to God, we're supposed to lean into that as we face trials of various kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Well, the verse says here, because it produces steadfastness. See, I think we'd all want steadfastness, right? In the midst of all kinds of different things happening, we would like to be steadfast. I think that none of us like it when the road is hilly. We'd rather it to be straight and steadfast, but it's not. And so as we get into those valleys, we have to lean into our faith. We reach those valleys where we get, you know, these trials of various kinds. And we get those moments where we get on the mountaintop and we praise God. Then we get back into those valleys again. But this is to test our faith, to grow our faith. The gift that God has given us, God wants to grow in us. And he wants to do that because faith is, as I said already, it's important and it's precious. And so it's the thing that God tests thoroughly. But an important thing and a distinction to make here is this. Trials don't produce faith. Trials test faith. See, some people will say, well, I just need enough faith to get through this. No, trials don't produce faith. Trials test faith. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, that's fascinating, isn't it, Mark? Because what is James going to tell us next? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God.
Hmm.
Well, James is certainly talking about prayer. He's certainly talking about seeking God by his Spirit. But one of the most clear and concise places where we can know the heart of God, the intentions of God, the character of God, even the plans and promises of God is in his word. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Because it's the very word of God that he illuminated through men throughout history so that we would, again, know the character, intentions, the promises and plans of God. And so this steadfastness that we need, that the trial tests our faith. It doesn't produce faith. But what that trial pushes us to lean into is what grows our faith, pushes us to lean into God. It should push us into leaning into God, but sometimes it reveals where we don't lean into God. Sometimes it reveals where we've been operating in our own strength or we think that we can get through our own strength. I have been with well-meaning Christian brothers and sisters who say, I just got to get through this. And sometimes my heart goes, I don't think you can. I don't think you will. You need God in this moment. You need to submit. James will tell us later on in his book, I believe it's in chapter 4, that we are to submit then to God, and the enemy will flee from us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, in the midst of those trials where the enemy comes and he begins to poke you and prod you, and he begins to speak lies into your ear, you need to draw near to God. But some of us as Christians, unfortunately, in that moment, we rear up and think we can fight the battle. And if we could fight the battle, then we don't need to cross. But the point is, we can't fight the battle. We couldn't fight the battle. And that's why we need the cross and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so maybe I closed out our program last week, or at some point I think I mentioned it, that great quote by Charles Spurgeon where he says, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. And so what Charles Spurgeon is saying is, I've learned to kiss the trials. I've learned to embrace the trials that test my faith. You know why? Because they throw me back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They throw me back into the arms of my Savior. They throw me back into the Word of God. They throw me back into prayer. You know, I think that as Christians, we might rejoice more in trials if we looked at it that way. If we said, you know, I'm facing this trial, and this trial has thrown me into my prayer closet like nobody's business. This trial has forced me to my knees to pray like I haven't prayed in a long time. This trial has forced me to wear out the pages in my Bible because I need to see what God is up to. I think we would walk through trials differently if we didn't look at trials as being such a negative, but instead we said, this trial has pushed me to a place where I am dependent upon God like I haven't been before. And maybe it'll even make us admit, you know what? I've been way too dependent upon myself. Way too dependent upon myself. You know, I love in the Exodus, it's one of my favorite verses. We've been going through the Exodus as a church, the latter chapters, but I love in the Exodus where it says, lo, I'm sending an angel ahead of you, and he will bring you to the place that I have prepared. And so what God is saying in that passage is he's saying, I have sent an angel, a messenger ahead, and he is preparing the path and the way, and he's going to bring you to a place that I have prepared, meaning that you're going to make it through. He's prepared a place. You're going to make it through. And so listen, God didn't bring us to this trial. God didn't bring us to this moment to just leave us in the wilderness, to watch us die, to watch us fail. Jesus didn't call Peter out of the boat to watch him sink. He called him out of the boat to watch him walk on water. But in that moment, Peter didn't lean into his faith. He didn't lean into to God. He began to look around and see the wind and the waves, and then he began to sink. And so this is why James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. Because he's saying, listen, this trial that you're going through, this difficult thing, this thing that you think is the end of the world, it's actually the best thing that could have possibly happened to you, because it's forcing you to put your eyes back on God. It's forcing you to desire him above all things, to depend on him above all things. It's forcing you to see that everything else in your world is not steadfast, but he is.
I'm thinking, Jason, you give this out as biblical counsel or advice, but it's that kind of refining process that happens in a relationship, or certainly an intimate one between a husband and wife. But you'll often say, it's not all about you being happy. It's about you being holy, and how God uses marriage or relationships or situations to really refine us and to make us more holy, more Christ-like, not necessarily happy, because discipline oftentimes, or that refining process, is painful.
And happiness is fleeting, and happiness is defined by present circumstances, and it doesn't prepare you for the troubles of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying that we should go out of our way to be unhappy,
right?
But instead of being happy, I would rather be filled with joy, because joy perseveres in the midst of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is the kind of thing that you go, you know what? It's a rainy day, but it's sunny somewhere. You know, and so joy is the thing that we should really pursue. But we really just need to look at this and say, I found in this season of life particularly, you know, with the coronavirus and all the different guidelines and all the different, I mean, it seems like every time you turn the news on, there's no good news. It's always just, in these days, it just seems like bad news and more bad news.
Yeah.
And so I've had to be real intentional to look for positive things. I've had to be real intentional to look where God is at work, to find joy and to rise above those things, to consider it pure joy as I'm walking through this season of what seems like incessant trial, incessant frustration, incessant tension. Because I could join the crowds of the unhappy,
yeah,
the crowds of the frustrated, but I don't know how that helps. And I don't know how that reflects the character of God either. And so what I want to do is I want to kiss the wave that throws me back into Jesus. I want to kiss the wave that throws me into the Bible. I've read the Bible more in the last 4 months than I think I've read it in my whole life.
Hmm.
And when I say more, I don't mean more in terms of quantity. I mean more in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Where I really read it. I mean, I really read it. I really want to know what God is doing and what God is up to. And so there's a lot where I'm going, I love some of what's happening right now. And I'm hearing not just me, I'm hearing people tell me that. People are telling me, like, I've been really reading the Bible. And I said, well, I thought you always read the Bible. I did. I'm really reading the Bible right now. And I said, well, why? Because I need truth. It seems like there's so much untruth. There's so much lie all around me. I need something that's true and that's right and that's good. So I read God's Word.
Mm.
And I go, yes, and amen. And that's what it says, right? That what are these trials are supposed to do? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. And so these trials of various kinds throw us back to God. These trials of various kinds have us leave us seeking God and looking at his word. That's what they're meant to do. But you know what I found? So in thinking about, you know, this passage in here, I just did a quick, I popped up the internet and I did a quick look. Because what I think happens, maybe it happens in your life, I don't know, Mark, but sometimes when trials of various kinds come on the scene, I don't immediately go to God.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I would contend that people go to Google before they go to God. And I would back that up by saying this. Did you know that there is 63,000 Google searches done every second? 3.8 million Google searches done every minute. 5.6 billion Google searches done every day. And what are all those people doing? Well, you know, some of those are people seeking the answers to very various everyday questions, but there is got to be a cross-section in there of people who are seeking wisdom in the midst of trials or in the midst of suffering or frustration or whatever it is. They're seeking wisdom, and they've gone to Google instead of going to God. And I know that there are Christians listening right now who are like, oh, I've done that. I know. You know why? Because I've done it too. Kind of popped open the laptop and said, okay, I got to see what the answer to that is. Instead of going, you know what, I got to listen to the words of Jesus, who says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means that there's a rightness about the words of God that is better than everything else that I could find. Any other kind of philosophy or ideal, the word of God has something that is better. It is more right. It is pure because it is from God, who is holy. And sometimes you read the word of God and you won't be happy because the word of God is holy and it makes you holy.
Right.
But anywhere where we're lacking wisdom, we need to seek God. Why? Because he is steadfast. And he is the one who allowed whatever trial we're going through to come into our lives. You know, somebody said to me the other day, well, you know what I mean? The government closed the church. And I said, no, they didn't. I said, maybe God did. Or he certainly allowed it. Now, that might be an unpopular thing, but I would contend this, that maybe his church had gotten so good at gathering that he needed to train us to scatter. And so he closed the doors, created a trial of various kind to test our faith. And by the way, I've seen the testing of faith where folks have really questioned God during this time and have really wrestled with who God is. And some people who have even walked away from the faith in this time, all because the church doors closed. And so the church doors closing for a couple of months was a trial of various kind. But God brought that upon the scene, I believe, to test our faith and to say, listen, can you guys, can every single one of you scatter and do the missionary work of Jesus as good as you were at gathering to worship in the name of Jesus?
You mean like, for example, meeting at Lake of the Woods on a Wednesday morning or something?
wherever it is. You know, if anybody's been following the things that I've been doing, that's really where I've landed. Is I've said, listen, everybody's talking about everything else. I want to talk about Jesus. And I'm willing to go wherever I can to talk about Jesus. And it's not about a church. It's not about an organization. It's about getting a group of people together and let's follow Jesus together. And then you can go and gather with whatever church you want to go gather with. But I just want to get people together who are like-minded. And the reason I want to do that is because I believe with all my heart, Mark, and this is maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I believe with all my heart that at some point what has happened may happen again. And I do not want to be found unprepared this next time as I was the first time. And so you know what? If you have to close the doors of the church next week because the virus has spiked or something else has happened, that's fine. We've already carved out a place at Lake in the Woods Park where we get together, we'll worship, and we'll follow Jesus together. And if we can't do that there, then we'll go somewhere else. You know, I was on a Zoom call a couple weeks ago with some Chinese pastors. They were a part of it. Ones who were in China and under persecution, and they were talking about that they don't have buildings. You know, some of them would meet in parks and some of them would meet in public place. They would meet all different kinds of places. And the one Chinese pastor, he made this comment that just made me chuckle. He said, all the decisions American pastors have to make with their church buildings, the only decision we have to make is above ground or below ground. Meaning, can we do it in public today or do we have to hide out?
Wow.
And I thought, what a great thought. Because now church is so simple that, listen, the only thing we got to decide is, can we do it out in the open, or do we have to do it, you know, like in a private place, or, you know, above ground or underground? That's the only thing we have to worry about. The rest of it, we already know what we're doing. We're going to get together, we're going to follow Jesus, and we're going to worship him, and we're going to glorify his name.
Hmm.
And so that's the reason why we get together in the park on Wednesdays. Hey, great, thanks for the plug. Because I'd love to get as many people out there, and what I really would love to do is get as many people out there and go, you know what, I think we got too many people. You guys should go over there in that other part of the park, because it's a big park.
Yeah, yeah. And really, your intention and purpose is just to open up God's Word, have discussion, sharing. And I know one of your recent Facebook posts, you were so encouraged and blessed by the sharing and the conversation that you couldn't contain yourself, and you wanted to do a little sermonette, or, you know, just a little posting on how wonderful it is that Christians can meet in God's name and just look at the Word and the nuggets, the truths that come out.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, Mark, it doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. What really matters is, are you following Jesus? And you know what? If we can agree on that, then I think that all of a sudden there's far more unity in the body of Christ than there is division. And listen, we can get together. We get over there in the park. I don't mention the church that I pastor. I don't mention anything about that. And I if you told me afterwards, man, I got to come to your church, I would probably dissuade you from it. What I really want more than anything is just to gather people together and talk about Jesus, because I've come to a point where that's the thing that excites me the most.
Yeah.
That's the thing that excites me the most, and I think that's good.
Mm. Well, what excites God is this portion of James 1:4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And we didn't totally touch on it, and we'll save some of that for next week, but God wants us maturing. He wants us complete. He doesn't want us lacking anything. If we do lack wisdom, he's ready to dish that out to us. But he wants our hearts. He wants our mind. He wants our worship. He deserves it. And maybe as we continue through James, we're going to all find ourselves falling more in love with Jesus, desiring God, and then proclaiming it to those around us. So that would be my prayer for all of us, for you, Pastor Jason, for me, and for you listening today. And thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.